Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 40 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled, Be a Friend. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Title of our teaching today, of course, is The Clash of Two Kingdoms. I've been on it for about 40 weeks now. And I guess I'll get off of it when the clash stops. But good luck. But this might take a while, as Ferdick said. I want us to look at, I feel like the way the Lord's been leading me in Proverbs is to get into, I guess you could even say a practical application of Proverbs. And how do we work with the Spirit of wisdom, which is God's Spirit, His Holy Spirit. And we do work in tandem with the Spirit. We have a Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit. And I told you my last great quest in my Christian life is to know more of this person of the Holy Spirit. I am learning more and more. But I'm also finding I have to unlearn as I learn. Some of it I've just never considered, but for the most part, you have to unlearn and relearn as the Holy Spirit teaches us. So today, as we go into a practical application of Proverbs, the first part of this teaching will be on the wisdom of Proverbs. The next part of the teaching will be on the foolishness that's in Proverbs. So the book of Proverbs has a contrast of wisdom against foolishness. There's no gray area. It just doesn't leave any room for gray area. It's either wise or foolish is the way the book of Proverbs breaks it down. But let's look at this one little example that we'll use as our definition of contrast as we're looking at the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of foolishness. And believe it or not, both are in each of us. We both have each. We can pull from either one. I like to give a little story here as I'm teaching Proverbs to give a backdrop to speak on. When wisdom says, be a friend, if you'll notice, to be a true friend, it's not usually convenient when you're called upon. Has anybody noticed that? It's easy to be a friend when it's convenient. It's when it's not convenient. It's when the rubber hits the road. So here I put, wisdom says to be a friend. And what I'm wanting us to come into a relationship with is the Holy Spirit that's in all of us. And when do we respond? Because the Holy Spirit is speaking. So we'll call this finding wisdom in being a friend. You can say, well, Alan, what's that got to do with the clash of two kingdoms? It's got everything to do with the clash of these two kingdoms, because the enemy's goal is to divide and to divide us. If you hold us together, we're something to the church of God is something to deal with. But if you can keep us divided, so being a friend is not just being a friend with believers. It's being a friend when God says, be a friend. So here we go, finding wisdom. Here's the little story. One day when I was a freshman in high school, I saw a kid from my class walking home from school. His name was Kyle. It looked like he was carrying all of his books. I thought to myself, why would anyone bring home all of his books on Friday? He must really be a nerd. I had quite a weekend planned, parties and a football game with my friends tomorrow afternoon. So I shrugged my shoulders and went on. As I was walking, I saw a bunch of guys or kids running towards him. They ran at him, knocking all of his books out of his arms and tripping him so he landed in the dirt. His glasses went flying, and I saw them land in the grass about 10 feet in front of him. He looked up, and I saw this terrible sadness in his eyes. My heart went out to him, so I jogged over to him, and as he crawled around looking for his glasses, I saw a tear in his eyes. As I handed him his glasses, I said, those guys are jerks. They really should get lives. He looked up at me and said, hey, thanks. There was a big smile on his face, and it was one of those smiles that showed real gratitude. I helped him pick up his books and ask him where you lived, and as it turned out, he lived near me, so I asked him why I had never seen him before. He said he had gone to private school before now. I would have never hung out with a private school kid before, but we talked all the way home, and I carried his books. He turned out to be a pretty cool kid. I asked him if he wanted to play football on Saturday with me and my friends, and he said yes. We hung out all weekend, and the more I got to know Kyle, the more I liked him, and my friends thought the same of him. Monday morning came, and there was Kyle with a huge stack of books again. I stopped him and said, "Boy, you are going to really build some serious muscles with this pile of books every day." He just laughed and handed me half the books. Over the next 4 years, Kyle and I became best friends. When we were seniors, we began to think about college. Kyle decided on Georgetown, and I was going to Duke. I knew that we would always be friends, that the miles would never be a problem. He was going to be a doctor, and I was going for business on a football scholarship. Cal was valedictorian of our class. I teased him all the time about being a nerd. He had to prepare a speech for graduation. I was so glad it wasn't me having to get up there and speak. On graduation day, I saw Kyle. He looked great. He was one of those guys that really found himself during high school. He filled out and actually looked good in glasses. He had more dates than me, and all the girls loved him. Boy, sometimes I was jealous. Today was one of those days I could see that he was nervous about his speech, so I smacked him on the back and said, "Hey, big guy, you'll be great." He looked at me with one of those looks, the really grateful one, and smiled. "Thanks," he said. As he started his speech, he cleared his throat and began. "Graduation is a time to thank those who helped you make it through those tough years. Your parents, your teachers, your siblings, maybe a coach, but mostly your friends. I'm here to tell all of you that being a friend to someone is the best gift you can give them. I am going to tell you a story." I just looked at my friend with disbelief as he told the story of the first day we met. He had planned to kill himself over the weekend. He talked of how he had cleaned out his locker so his mom wouldn't have to do it later and was carrying his stuff home. He looked hard at me and gave me a little smile. Thankfully, I was saved. My friend saved me from doing the unspeakable. I heard the gas go through the crowd as this handsome, popular boy told us all about his weakest moment. I saw his mom and dad looking at me and smiling, that same grateful smile. Not until that moment did I realize its depth. Never underestimate the power of your actions. With one small gesture, you can change a person's life. Amen. Being a friend can change everything. And usually we'll find that God wants us, a move of the Spirit and a move of wisdom is when God calls us to be a friend. And it's usually to those that seem to be the last person you want to be a friend with. So friendship is more or less, when we're a friend of God, our friendships are more or less based on need. The need of the Spirit of God instead of our own selfish needs. Being a friend can change everything. And what I want us to, as we move forward, is to see how being a friend was an act it's just being a friend in that one time picking up books. Just being that one moment saved someone's life. So we tend to underestimate Christianity. In Christianity, we do multiple things. One of them is being a friend. And that injects us into a situation that the inevitable can be changed. Usually we're injected into times that are uncomfortable. Does anybody love uncomfortable times? No, we'd love to run from them, right? But as we test God and God tests us, we start learning that being uncomfortable is a call of God to inject us in any given situation so that it might be changed. And I'm going to move on into how realities are actually changed. Here we see this reality, what could have been, which was suicide, was changed to life with one kind gesture. Now, that doesn't make sense to me. The outcome of that equation, it appears to me, was far greater than the little bit of friendship that was injected into it. So we see the Holy Spirit of God is the only thing God's asking of us is to inject a little bit of the Holy Ghost in any given situation, because it can change the inevitable. Now, in Matthew 5:16, it says it like this: "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Wisdom brings faith into reality. Now, it was true that his conscience showed him to help his friend. We can call somebody a friend, and that is having a friend. But the spiritual action is called being a friend. It's being a friend. There's one thing to have a friend named Jesus, and it's another thing to be in a friend named Jesus. It's one thing to wait on Jesus, and it's another thing to wait in Jesus. Are you with me? So as we are waiting in Jesus, we're not waiting on Jesus. We're not waiting on the opportunity for Jesus to show up. We're waiting on the opportunity for us to be injected into the situation, because it's not about us waiting on Jesus when we're waiting in Jesus. And then we're ready to move at any given time. So that's where we want to begin our thought pattern here this morning. So wisdom brings faith into reality. So there, because one of the characteristics of a Christian is to be friendly. It's one thing to be a friend, and there's another thing to be friendly, right? There's times, you know, I have friends, and then I can be friendly. Well, usually the reason we're not too friendly is because we don't want more friends. Anybody notice? Did I say something I shouldn't have said? It's because we don't want any more friends. But let me get you up to date on the spiritual world here in the kingdom of God. Whoever hates you the worst will be your best friend in 6 months. I'm just letting you in on something here. The very ones that are against you or don't like you tend to be very non-friendly. You need to go ahead and hug them and just get it over with. Because if you ain't careful, they're going to move in with you. And they'll live with you. That's the way this thing of the kingdom of God works. So I've learned to embrace it. So as we're wanting to open our minds to this spiritual opportunity of being friendly, we might be challenged. Because we don't want to be too friendly, and the reason is, it's a selfish reason, is because we don't want to be too friendly because we don't really want any more friends. When we're walking in the Spirit and then in the Spirit of God, we are a friend of God. And what I'm wanting to introduce in Proverbs today is being a friend of God is being a friend to humanity. It's being a friend to humanity. And when we realize that we're to be a friend to humanity, we start discovering how selective we are. We're so selective. If you're worthy of me being friendly to you or not, right? And to be friendly has nothing to do with sizing you up before I offer myself. Has nothing to do with that. Has everything to do. The reason that young gentleman helped the one that the nerd, so to speak. The reason he did that is because his conscience and compassion rose up in him, which tells me something about human nature. We want to be more friendly than we are. We do. As Christians, it is in us to be more friendly than we want to be. It's amazing how I have a tendency to do this more in times past than now. I've noticed Blake has the same problem. He'll just be friendly to anybody, you know. And of course, I'm thinking, well, he ain't been bit enough yet. Truth is, I hope he never gets over it. Because what happens is God wants to inject this gift of being a friend to all humanity as being the crossroads of interjecting the kingdom of God. So what happens? I was talking with Brian Cohn. I don't know if Brian's in here or not, but Brian and I were talking in Craig this morning, and he brought up how Facebook is now changing its name to Metaverse, the long name. They're changing their concept of how they're going to promote their virtual realities, I guess you could say. And so it's getting to a place now that this alternate world is being so created that you have your avatar, and avatar meaning this person on the internet is you, and then you. Brian was telling me this morning they're even having it where you can purchase and buy clothing for your avatar in the virtual world, and how people will start living in the virtual world more than the natural world. That's frightening, but it's here. It's now. And I ran across this the last couple of days, and I looked at it some also yesterday, and that sounds crazy to me. Sounds beyond crazy. And I got to talking to God about it, and the Holy Spirit spoke back to me, and he said, Alan, that's what the kingdom of God is. I was like, what do you mean? Well, you're believing in a world you've never seen. You're expecting things to come out of it like that you've never seen. It's a virtual reality of Christianity. Now, I hope you can hear what I'm saying there. You got to catch it through the Holy Spirit. But we really got to take a look at it, because we are now part of this clash of these two kingdoms. The stakes have been upped. We've got a pseudo or a alternate reality that's now going to be combating Christianity, because when we offer Christianity, it's like an altered reality. We're going to live in this kingdom, in this world, except ours isn't meta. But now there's a meta, and it's going to grow and get bigger, and it's just amazing to me how this battle of the kingdoms are, I'm just like, you got to be kidding. And so as I was talking to the Lord and praying and looking at all of this mess, I said, well, Lord, it's obvious to me the meta world has to stay in that world to work. In other words, you got to sit and down or have a headset, or you got to do something to be engaged in that world. What's different with the kingdom of God, we're to bring it into this world. Now, the interesting part is everybody's looking for this other world. They're looking for it. Facebook is just trying to capitalize on the human need and nature to look for it. But we've got it. We have got it. So, here's going to be our problem. Well, let me move on here as I show us our problem. Wisdom brings faith into reality. Now, the reason the wisdom is such a key component is wisdom, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Wisdom tells us when to bring faith into a reality. In other words, somebody knocked the kid's books out of his hand, so another person saw it and came to it and started helping them out of compassion and passion. There's something that motivated that person. And it's because it saw another person mistreated. So the person moved out. The first thing that happens to you is you got to decide, is anybody looking, seeing me help them, right? Am I going to allow myself to be ridiculed for helping somebody that they just made fun of? Something happens and I got to move in that. If that person hadn't moved, the other person would have went home and killed themselves. So the movement of the one person through compassion is what changed a reality. It was headed there just as hard as it could go. He got all of his books so his mom wouldn't even have to clean his locker. That's the reality. But an act of compassion introduced by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit caused a bad outcome. Listen, not only did it change it to a good outcome, it changed it to the best outcome it could possibly be. Right? So now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So now we got Facebook trying, and this whole world now is being created, a world that you can't see. But we're taking on avatars or figurines or whatever you want to call it, a symbol of who I am interjected into this scene that you can't see unless it's created. Oh, well, let me ask you this. Can you see the internet? No. Can you get on the internet? Yes. Can you see the spirit world? No. Can you get in the spirit world? Yes. We're having something duplicate right in front of our eyes. Now, here's the part where I get excited. Is Meta can't hit this earth. It can only simulate it. It can make you think you're in this earth. It can be so overwhelmingly what you're seeing and you're interjected into it. But the biggest reason people are doing that is they have a human need to enter into this unseen world. Because the unseen world is what has eternity attached to it. So the human spirit is longing for eternity. Just self-preservation, if nothing else. So man is now reaching out for this alternative. Now, I'm not against Facebook or anything else. I love a good war. I know that scares some of you. I love a good battle. I was not created for peace times. And that has its own problems. I'm created for the war, and we got a good war here. Now, here's what's happened. On the kingdom of God and on the people of God, the ante's just been upped. It's been up. The game has been up. The war plan has been anteed up. In other words, it's now possible for us. Listen, God's not going to put us in a situation that we can't trump the enemy. He's just not going to do it. Now, we cannot use our weapons, but sometimes our weapons of warfare is not like you think. You can help somebody pick up some books. Well, what's that got to do with this battle? It stops suicide. That's how come. You don't stand up and preach against suicide and stop suicide. You go help a brother that's in need and stop suicide. So we start seeing how this warfare, how it happens. Now keep in mind, wisdom brings faith into reality. It brings a faith. In other words, the wisdom, the compassion of helping the boy with the books brought a change into a reality from death unto life. Keep that in mind. Now, if you're a true scientist in here, you'll probably think I'm doing an elementary thing here, which I am, but I'm trying to make a point. You've heard of the word hypothesis, right? It's a supposition or a proposed explanation made based on a limited evidence as a starting point for further investigation. In other words, a hypothesis is when I have an idea, and based on that idea, I say, well, if this happens and this happens, it could equal this. And so a hypothesis can be the beginning of creating a fact. Now, nothing's a fact. See, when something is a fact, like if I've got this cough drop here and I drop it, there's called a law of gravity. Now, just so happens, the law of gravity works every time, right? And it's a fact. I can have a hypothesis, well, I think this is going to fall. But if I drop it, my hypothesis turns into a theory. Well, I think it's going to fall. And then when it falls, say it's a fact. But this is what you got to understand. A fact such as gravity doesn't work when you get in outer space. We got a problem with my fact, with my law. And the reason we've got a problem, I think I won't take that. The reason we have a problem is because we're now outside of the realm that that law applies. You with me? Now, as Christians, we got to understand when we take this book, it's basically a hypothesis. But we're outside the realm of this world. So what the world demands as fact, we don't because we're outside of that realm of gravity. Anybody with me? Now stay with me. Here we go. Now, next thing you have is you have basically three steps: hypothesis, theory, fact, or law. A theory is a supposition or a system of ideas intended to explain something, especially one based on general principles independent of the thing to be explained. In other words, if you have, I understand on layman's terms, the terminology of evolution. And before you can have a hypothesis that man came from apes, that's a hypothesis. And to my understanding, I don't even think we have any skeletons or anything as an intermediary, do we? I don't think there's any. In other words, you got to have a skeleton somewhere of a half man, half ape to take it into the theory stage. Because now I got a little bit of proof to say this hypothesis is true. Now, when you get into fact, you've got four. You know how it is on that little picture you see of man coming from ape. They've not found any of those skeletons. The first one and the last one, yeah, but there's nothing in them. I can't quite say the word intermediary. Is that right? Is that pretty close? In other words, there's nothing in the middle to prove your hypothesis, which makes it a theory. Like creation, evolution today is taught as fact. And it's a weak hypothesis. It can be a hypothesis. But for some reason, it's accepted and taught, basically, they'll say it's theory, but it's taught as fact. Now, pray tell, how in the world you do that? And then they say they're against faith. I'm like, my gosh, Moses, you got more faith than I got. Right? So we got to be careful. Because with wisdom, we're living in a world that a lot of things are being said as fact, and it's just a hypothesis. It's not even a decent theory. Right? It's just a hypothesis. You can have all the hypotheses you want, but don't teach it as a fact. So now we've got a book here of recorded book, but you got to understand, some people say it's just a historical document. And then some will say it's even a poor one at that. So we got to prove this book. That's where I think we're coming into this age and this day that you're going to see more of the supernaturalness of God moving than you ever have upon the history of mankind. The times are going to demand it. It's absolutely going to demand it. So as we have the hypothesis and the theory and the fact, and we have so much floating around today, and you got to understand, in this virtual world of Facebook, can you see how that it's not even going to, mankind's going to accept their avatar as being more of the real them instead of the person is them. Now how, somebody's got to tell me how we're going to get an avatar saved. It's a sneaky move of the enemy, y'all. People are going to start identifying more with the virtual who they are than the actual person that they are. It's just another avenue for mankind to try to create who he wants to be instead of finding our identity in Christ. So we've got a, let's go to fact now. A fact is a thing that is known to be proved or to be true. Now, the greatest intermediary of Christians, you got to understand something. You got a hypothesis, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Get, come to Jesus, get saved, change your life. But we got to have some intermediaries here, which means something about you has changed or evolved. Something's changed somewhere, right? Then if you get enough of that, in other words, are we living enough of what we encountered under the hypothesis to create a fact that we are something? So who we are and who we act and who we are upon this earth makes a huge difference. We're not even scaring the devil. He's not even worried about us being a fact. We're living in the hypothesis stage instead of the fact law stage. There's one thing to walk in a completeness of Christ. We have got to be a terror to the pits of hell because it's a fact of who we are. If the enemy's constantly trying to have us second guess who we are in Christ, can you see that we're just a Christian avatar at best? We're living in a reality that the fact of who we are. In other words, we're going to take this book, and if my life, if you look at me a before and after picture, say, boy, Alan's a different person. His life, he is not who he was. He doesn't cuss, he doesn't drink, he doesn't run around with wild women, he does yada, 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 just go as long as you want. He doesn't do these things. Well, you can say, well, I've heard some people say, well, Alan, this is not sin. That's, I understand all this ain't and this is not. That's not the point. The point is how is the gates of hell seeing you? That's the point. How is the gates of hell seeing you? Are they seeing you as a born-again fact? Or are they seeing you still in a hypothesis stage, trying to say, well, I think Christianity is a good idea. Yeah, I believe God can heal, He can save, He can change my life. He can do all those things. It's just not happening to me. Well, the challenge here is that it's happening to you and it's happening to me. The day that we're living in, y'all, come on now, please hear me. Our Christianity of 2020 is not going to work. It's not going to work. Where we're headed now, you're going to see so much mental unrest. I don't know what in the world you're going to do with it. I mean, everything's going into a faith-based situation, but it's taken the faith of man misappropriated to believe something other than this book. Now, that also means, has anything I've said made any sense? I hope it has. Okay. So a fact is a thing that is known or proved to be true. When we take this book and these things are written, you've got to understand, God will perform it again so that it is a fact before mankind. Now, one of our problems as Christians, I don't think a religious spirit is a good representation of a Christian. But I also don't think that we're supposed to be cool so that we're received. I don't think the goal is trying to be cool. I don't think the goal is trying to be religious. I don't think any of that's the goal. I think the goal is Christ-likeness. And I've also discovered that it has a lot to do with being a friend of God. And we encounter the world in this fight that it has something to do with moving upon friendships. A true friend will tell a friend the truth. Might hurt your feelings. Probably will hurt your feelings. But a true friend will tell you the truth. All right, let's move. A hypothesis. Here's a hypothesis. It said this. This is a little clip out of the story I just read you. They ran at him, knocking all of his books out of his arms and tripping him so he landed in the dirt. The hypothesis is that they were trying to destroy the character and the person of who that was. Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to use this little story. I could use biblical stories to be the same thing. If a person has suicide on their mind, if you're not walking with Christ, it will cause you to do things to an individual to embrace that they need to kill themselves. Can you hear me? In other words, we got to be careful in how we correct. We can say things. I'm going to use homosexuality. I can say things to somebody struggling with homosexuality, and I can push that person further into that lifestyle or despair or whatever by what comes out of my mouth. And I'm standing for what's right, bless God. Right? But we've got to get the difference. Or I can be a friend. You say, well, Alan, I don't want to be friends with homosexual. Well, you ain't getting it. It's the only thing I can tell you. We've called to be a friend of mankind. We don't choose friends. Listen, it is so liberating to understand and to receive the truth, you don't have to choose your friends. That's liberating. It's very time consuming to see who you're going to choose and who you're not and how you're going to keep it up and all that mess. Good gracious. We're liberated to be friends to mankind. That is just a liberating place to be. Now, so it says here they knocked the books. Now, the hypothesis is the spiritual world's wanting to create a suicidal situation here. It's not a fact yet, right? Listen, it's not a fact yet that America has fallen. Come on, where it's a good place to say amen right there. I gave you a bone. It's a hypothesis. It's not a fact. Now, the enemy's trying to convince us in that hypothesis of his so that we embrace it and it'll be a fact. I don't care how much evidence you got. I just don't care. I'm not going to live in that world. Now, let's watch it. Proverbs 12:18 says this, there's one whose rash words are like sword thrust. That's what happened in this little story. I just tried to find me a proverb that'll match it. There are ones whose rash words are like sword thrust. Those words were being drawn by the dark side, and those that were making fun of him was embracing suicide. So as you look upon those that you call your enemies, this should have you think about it. Because what we say in defending truth can actually be bringing about what the dark side's trying to get it to bring about. But it's through God's people. We operate different. We don't make enemies, we make friends. Now, I didn't say, well, you know, if I got to explain it, you don't get it. All right. Theory. Here's the theory. He looked up, and I saw this terrible sadness in his eyes. The theory was suicide's going to be accomplished. First, there was an embrace. Theory. I saw sadness in his eyes. But the theory, now listen to me, the theory that America is fallen is supposed to spark something in the believers. Now, this hypothesis and this theory can come true, but Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Now, let's move quickly. I'm taking too long here. Now, here's the fact. The outcome changed in this little story. I am here to tell all of you that being a friend to someone is the best gift you can give them. So we see that the scientific, if you will, or that the progression to create a truth is a hypothesis, then a theory, then truth. Well, here's what I'm telling you. As believers, we are to change realities as they are in the formation mode. Now, I'm not saying we can't change them after it's done. But our first course of action is to change realities as they're forming. You know, let's say the kid committed suicide. I mean, it's great to have the gift to resurrect from the dead. But I'll probably have better luck with trying to interject and change reality up front. Can you see that? So, based on this kingdom of God that we live in, we can actually change the outcomes. We can actually change the outcome. But yet all of the evidence will prove less that we can't change. This is where it's headed. Look at all the evidence. Greater is He that's in thee than whoever's in the world. We've got to walk in it. I believe, now just test me on this one. I believe in the next 24 months you'll see more miracles in this church than you've ever seen before. And it's not because we're a great church. It's because the times are really needing a great church. I just ask us not to be an avatar on Facebook. Let's be a child of the King in the kingdom of God. That these realities that we see that are coming and that are happening can be changed because we recognize it. And guess what? We're going to be a friend. That's right. We're going to be a friend. Now, the reason I say it like that is I know that the Church of Jesus Christ, we're not very good at being friends, being friendly. We're being friendly or friends to the lost, to the saved too. And I will, let me finish this one before I have to stop. I'm out of time. Now, this is the rest of Proverbs 12:18. There is one whose rash words are like swords thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. That's the rest of that verse. You see that? There is one whose rash words are like swords thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So that tells me that if these rash words, harsh words, go forth like a sword, that's telling me that the tongue of the wise can bring healing to where that sword thrust was. Is that the way you read it? So, the gift to walk in wisdom is to walk in the gift of healing. Come on, somebody. You got to use wisdom. What's just one rule of thumb that works great in wisdom if you're going to apply it to life? One rule of thumb. Be a friend. That's it. That's all. One rule of thumb. Just be a friend. And if you get too many, give some to Trevor. Can y'all hear what I'm saying? Please, please say, make it up. Say yes. If you want to just know something to do that wisdom might be interjected into tough situations, but the tongue of the wise brings a healing. Now, healing is what we're going to need where we're going. And I'm just saying that we're going to see more of the supernaturalists. If this church will be known as the friendliest church in Alexander County, I promise you the healing power of God will be here. But we're going to have to get our friendship straightened up here. That's what we're going to have to do. That's what this first part of this teaching is. And I got more next week if you'll come back. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this day, oh God. I ask and pray, oh God, that if there's anything that I've said that's not of you, that it would fall to the ground. If anything that I've said, oh God, is of your spirit and of your heart, I pray that somehow, supernaturally, it might drop down in us and burn in our hearts, drop down in us in such a way that this church would be so peculiar. We'd be against sin, but we'd be for the sinner. We're against all this pain that the enemy's trying to throw us, all of these false realities. And I pray, oh God, that the kingdom of God in this place will be greater than the kingdom of this world. We declare it, and we embrace it as a people. Be with us, Lord. Amen and amen.